Zach Osterman from the Indy Star joins us. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Glass. How about you?
Well, good. It's been a busy weekend for basketball. Hoosier Hysteria last weekend. We've got Indiana's first exhibition game coming up Saturday night, 8 o'clock, as Marion's in town. And the internet has been abuzz for the last few days because of the guests that were at Hoosier Hysteria. Why don't you update the folks on who was there and what is that turning into for Indiana recruiting and Indiana basketball? I know you wrote a big story on it yesterday.
Well, the two big ones were Darius Garland and Romeo Langford, a couple of uncommitted five-star guards in the 2018 class. Garland is a point guard from Nashville, Tennessee, although his father starred at Gary Roosevelt. I think Garland actually maybe was born in Gary and then moved to Nashville. And then I think Romeo Langford probably needs no introduction to folks. You know, he's a star down at New Albany. He's been widely recognized as one of the best players in his class for years now. I think a lot of fans, when the coaching change happened, these were both guys that Tom Crean and his staff prioritized as well, but when the coaching change happened, I think a lot of fans probably kind of figured, particularly with Langford, that, you know, it was just a bridge too far for a new staff to build those kinds of relationships, but it's happened quickly, and now obviously Indiana is, I don't know if I'd say in pole position, but in a very good position. As good of a position probably at any school with these two players coming down to decision time.
Now, do you talk about decision time? Number one question is, why have they moved into pole position? And number two, what is the timeline on when these decisions possibly could or could not happen?
Well, again, I don't know if I'd necessarily say pole position, but I'd say very good position. And it's interesting because Garland has always planned on deciding in the fall and signing in November, and that's still the plan. They both have one more official visit to take. Garland will be at UCLA this weekend. Langford will be at Kansas. If you kind of get it, if that gives you an idea of just sort of how elite both of these recruitments are. But Garland will be deciding in the fall. That's always been the plan. Langford, for a long time, was believed would be a spring signee, and he still might be. Right now, his father said the plan is to try and have his list of five schools, which is Kansas, IU, UCLA, Vanderbilt, and UNC, trimmed down to three by Thanksgiving. But his father also said to a number of reporters, including me, that if Romeo knows where he wants to go, you know, if he walked in tomorrow and said, "I want to go to X school," the family would not stand on ceremony. He'd be going to whatever school that is. So,
will Darius Garland's decision affect Romeo Langford's decision? This isn't a quote-unquote package deal. Tell me how that's going to work.
No, it's not, but, I mean, they do know each other, I think, fairly well. I don't think it was necessarily an accident that they took their official visits together, although, you know, that's also just naturally a weekend where IU would want to have multiple elite prospects on campus. I mean, if you look at the whole visitor list, IU had three of its four 2018 commits in town. Rob Vinicius, Demazie Anderson, and Jerome Hunter were all in Bloomington. They had a couple of really highly regarded 2019 prospects from in-state, Trace Jackson Davis from Center Grove, Keon Brooks from Fort Wayne Northside. So the point is, you know, I don't think they, you know, very, very together, and I don't think that they are a package deal by any means, but these are two guys that know each other. That I think know each other fairly well. And I think, you know, that there is maybe something of a relationship there that could benefit Indiana. Now, it's worth pointing out, they also have Vanderbilt and UCLA both among their finalists. So it's not like Indiana is the only school that crosses between them. But, you know, if they committed, they both committed to IU and then said something to the effect of that part of the reason that they each picked IU is because the idea of playing with the other appealed to them, I wouldn't be surprised at that. I just don't think it's not like a Tyus Jones, Jahlil Okafor, Justice Winslow kind of deal where that was very dedicated, like those kids said, we want to go to school together.
Yeah, the Duke all number one draft picks there a couple of years ago. Zach Osterman's our guest this morning from the Indianapolis Star. Why did their visits go so well? Your article talked about the parents being very impressed and very happy. Is that a staff thing? Is that an IU fan thing? I think all of that has to tie in together, doesn't it?
Yeah, probably all of that. And I've said this too for a while, and this isn't to say that it means it'll wane at some point, but sometimes being new and being different in recruiting, it helps. You know, it's a little easier. I think you saw this some with Steve Alford at UCLA. It's easier sometimes to get kids excited about kind of, you know, something new, about being a part of a bigger vision. You think about, for example, Tom Crean's early recruiting success at Indiana, getting guys like Christian Watford, Jordan Hulls, Maurice Creek, obviously Cody Zeller, Yogi Ferrell. And, you know, there's a separate conversation to be had about sustaining that sort of impact, and that's something that you can only prove you're going to be able to do over a number of years. It's not like Archie Miller could commit these guys and then also prove that he's ready to compete for elite recruits for the next, you know, 10 or 15 years. But I think there is something to the idea that if you can really build that rapport with recruits and really convince them of your quality as a coach and as a staff, there's also maybe some cachet in being a little bit new and being able to sell something a little bit different and being able to sort of say, come help me build something. I think that can be appealing to some guys.
Archie Miller is a former point guard, played at high-level basketball in the ACC. Both these kids are guards. Am I making too big of a leap there?
No, I don't think so. I mean, particularly when you hear Indiana's current players talk about his guards, Archie Miller's guards now, guys like Rob Johnson, Devontae Green, talk about how it's maybe a little bit easier to kind of just, I come back to that word rapport, but because Miller's played the position, because he can kind of see the game the way they see the game in some basic but fundamental ways, that it's easier for them to kind of relate to him, learn from him, those sorts of things. And I think if you're Archie Miller and you're talking to a recruit and you're sort of selling your vision again, if you can maybe see the game through their eyes and say, look, I played, you know, point guard, I played shooting guard, you know, what I do in my system, the way I have my guards play, you know, here's how I can describe it to you in a way that you'll really understand very vividly. I think that helps. I don't think it's necessarily an absolute or anything like that, but I think it absolutely helps.
Zach Osterman's our guest this morning, beat writer for the Indianapolis Star, IU men's basketball and football. Hey, we're going to play basketball. The scrimmaging is over. We're going to there's going to be an opponent, 40 minutes, TV timeouts, the whole nine yards. If there are two things fans should look for in game number one in the Archie Miller era, what direction would you point them in?
Well, first of all, the injuries. You know, we saw Al Durham, Josh Newkirk, and Colin Hartman all held out for what were termed precautionary reasons from Hoosier Hysteria, and that's obviously the kind of event where you're just not going to push it with guys that you don't need to. And, you know, something that I always, it feels like I tweeted near the beginning of every Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage, is remember that team has probably already practiced that day. I know Tom Crean always practiced on Hoosier Hysteria. I'm assuming Archie Miller would too, because you have to use that day as a work day for your players. You can't take it as a If you take it as an off day on practice, then you're wasting one of your practice days during the preseason. So it's also possible that some or all three of those guys practiced earlier in the day and then just sat out Hoosier Hysteria because, again, it wasn't really necessary for them to play. But do we see them against Marion? If we do, what do they look like? In particular, I think maybe those two veterans, Newkirk and Hartman. And then the other one for me is I was really impressed. We've asked questions about where scoring is going to come from for this team, you know, and where they're going to be able to make up some of the points that they lost just in sheer numbers, you know, in Thomas Bryant, OG Anunoby, James Blackman, all gone. I thought we saw real confidence, a real different kind of confidence from Devontae Green and Rob Johnson both. I thought they were both players that looked like they were hunting their own shot a little bit more than they had been a year ago. And I say that in a good way. I say that in a way like a couple of guys who realized that maybe they've got the ability to score a little bit more this season, to be maybe more assertive offensive players and help make up some of that gap that Indiana's now lost from what's departed from last season. Do they continue that? Are there a couple other guys that maybe do that? Maybe play with just a little bit more confidence at the offensive end? Those are a couple things. And then I'd throw in one more and just say defense. You know, where is this team at defensively across the board? I think that's going to be really interesting to follow as well.
All right, good job. I know you're busy. I know you had a run. I appreciate your 10 minutes this morning. And Hoosiers, Marion, 8 p.m. Saturday. That should be right after Indiana. Maryland football ends. It's a 3:30 kick from College Park, so a busy weekend for everybody there. A little back-to-backer if you're around town. We'll talk soon. I appreciate it, as always. And we can find your stuff at the Indy Star, at Zach Osterman. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, Zach Osterman, a little, you know, we're getting a little pinch there. He says, hey, what are you doing? Come on, talk hoops. Let's go.